So return to your first love and remember, be willing to be humiliated if it will advance the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This is Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge, a ministry dedicated to reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and challenging believers to reach their maximum potential in Christ. Last time we began a message from 1 Peter chapter 4 called God's Purpose in Suffering. We learned suffering is natural consequences for bad choices, but God has other purposes in suffering as well. We'll begin today with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and here's Bill Rudge.
Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. So when this begins to happen, many people actually walk away from Jesus Christ. You've forsaken me. You've abandoned me. You've let me suffer. But over and over, his word repetitively tells us that this is going to be circumstances that we will have periods and seasons in our life that will refine us and test us and make us stand strong when the great day comes to give a great witness for Jesus Christ. Verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So the more I suffer for Christ, I should keep on rejoicing all the more. We oftentimes reverse that. So that also in the revelation of his glory at his second coming, you may rejoice with exaltation. What is your goal, people? Is your reward this world? Are you doing things to be seen of men and other people? Or are you truly heaping up treasures in the world to come? You see, how you live your life and the priorities of your life show me very clearly your true heart commitment and what's first in your life. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. Now, already in Roman Greek terminology, a Christian was all those things in their mind. But Peter's making the contrast from God's perspective, that no matter what their opinion of you is, what is God's opinion that really counts? And so I have many people calling and crying because they are suffering for these very reasons. They've made choices in their life, and now they're reaping back what they've sown. That is not for the glory of God unless they repent and turn their lives back. And so when you allow your children free rein to all the garbage on TV, when you allow them to have all the kind of secular music in their house and in your home, and you allow decisions that contradict God's word because you're too afraid or don't have the energy for the confrontation or the hassle that might incur, then one day you are going to face a whirlwind of adversity and difficulty and tragedy. It will not be because you're suffering for Christ, but because you disobeyed honoring God's word and what his spirit was leading you to do. So here's a few reasons why we face adversity and difficulty. Number one is because we bring some things on ourselves. We make choices all the time. How we eat, how we live, what we do, and sometimes we suffer those consequences. Other times there's natural consequences. If I get too close to the end, I'm going to go down. And it's not going to be because, you know, Satan pushed me or because God's mad at me. It's because I violated the law of gravity. And so there are natural consequences. Thirdly, there's also spiritual warfare. There is a real enemy out there that seeks to destroy each one committed to Jesus Christ. And when we incur that spiritual warfare, it can get very intense. And then fourthly, there is God molding those submitted to him and preparing them and purifying them and enabling us to be ready to stand with what's coming on the world scene. How do you discern the difference? When I get into a heated situation and it's intense and I'm going through the flames, instantly I get on my knees and say, Lord, show me, is there sin in my life? Is this because of some rebellion? Is this because of some attitude? Is this because of some choice I made in disobedience to your word and your spirit? If it is, show me and I repent right now. And when that's not the case, then I evaluate, is this spiritual warfare? Is this the enemy seeking to thwart your plan? And when that's not the case, then I say, Lord, then I understand by your word and spirit that you are doing a continual work in me. And I'm going through a season of refining again as gold through the fire. And you're purifying me. And you're preparing me for even greater challenges in the months and years to come. And I submit to his will in that regard. Let's look at verse 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in the name. Ask yourself this question. Are you willing to be humiliated for God to be glorified? You see, after I came back from Turkey, I was over in Turkey in January in Greece and Rome, and everyone said, Bill, you're never coming back. I mean, I had close friends and family hugging me goodbye. They were never going to see me again because the U.S. was declaring war on Iraq and the whole Muslim world was in upheaval and they were declaring a jihad, holy war against Americans in the Islamic countries. And there I was when that was being proclaimed by Saddam Hussein in the very most militant, radical Muslim city in all of Turkey. And so we faced one obstacle after the other, but nothing happened. I came home safe. And a few days after I'm home, someone pulls out right in front of me, and I got some head injury and some neck and back injury, as well as my mother did. And my eyes were blurry for months and months, and going to physical therapy and rehab and many other obstacles with the growing ministry and all the things happening. I'm saying, Lord, why all this intense difficulty? I need your help. And he spoke to my heart very clearly. He said, are you willing to be humiliated? Because it felt like I was being defeated. People were saying, well, really, you've heard from God and this is happening to you? I can hear them saying to Paul, you know, when he's in prison, and they're saying, this is the Apostle Paul, the one that's writing all the letters to the churches and the super apostles, you know, were condemning him. But the Apostle Paul wrote back and said, you know what? My being in prison is turning out to be an advantage for the gospel. And so I'm facing this adversity and it looks like apparent defeat. And God speaks very clearly. Are you willing to be humiliated for me to be glorified? What is your main interest here? Do you want me to vindicate you? Or do you care about the larger scope of reaching the world for Christ? And I said, Lord, if it requires me to be humiliated, then I'm willing to do so if you are being glorified. And he said, look at all the heroes of the faith. Abraham told his wife they're going to have a child and humiliation until it was fulfilled. Joseph going to have this great dream he had and this vision. Humiliation until it was fulfilled. David, anointed king by Samuel. And what was the result? Humiliation as Saul chased him around and David hid in caves. And then God finally fulfilled all his promises. The Apostle Paul stripped and beaten, put in prison. But the advancement of the gospel came about. You see, I learned this, that when I go to like the Himalaya Mountains, this is probably the most difficult trip I have coming up that I've ever been involved with. I'll be up in the Himalaya Mountains. Many dangers lay ahead of us. And in Jerusalem, speaking right in the main Jewish quarter where the bombs go off. But I realize one thing. I'm going to a people suffering very greatly, and the body is suffering around the world. And when I go there and give all these victories that God has done and all the miracles he's done, you know what? They get encouraged. But when I go there and tell them about the adversity and difficulty and the perseverance required, and they see my life example, they are greatly encouraged, more so than with all the miracles. You see, our light for Jesus Christ, people, shines all the brighter in the darkness of our circumstances. That's why you have an opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ when you're facing much difficulty. Verse 17, then we'll jump to 19. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? You see, God's doing a work right now in the body. He's purifying us and preparing us to stand. But one day the Lord will come back and take us. The heat will be taken off of us. And then Revelation indicates the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, Armageddon, the white throne judgment. I would much rather take the heat that you and I are taking now, even if it costs me my life, that I can stand before the judgment seat of Christ, receive my rewards and inherit eternity, then deny him for the pleasures of this world for a season and face what's ahead for the world and the apostate church. The apostate church is destroyed by the Antichrist and the kings of that conglomeration that are united in rebellion against God. Verse 19, therefore those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. If you are suffering according to the will of God, then be at peace. Submit your life to Him. You can walk in assurance and confidence and courage and strength and determination and have His peace in midst of all the circumstances going around you. There is nothing and no one that can harm or deter God's purpose for your life. The enemy will seek to discourage you, to frustrate you, to intimidate you, but you can walk through that with great confidence. And whether we live or whether we die, we do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. My closing challenge to you people is this. Remember your first love. Your first love has always been Jesus Christ. Your first love has always been His word and prayer. Your first love has always been evangelism, witnessing, reaching out. And your first love has always been encouraging the body of Christ to stand strong and stay faithful. I believe the very heartbeat that God wants to have in each one of your lives, I believe His very word for you today and for the body of Christ today is return to your first love. Love Him with all of your heart. Desire His word. Desire to spend time in prayer, whether you feel like it or not. Remember this. Love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will, choosing a course of action. And so don't give me this stuff, well, I don't love this person, or I don't want to do this or that. We perform with love in our hearts based on an act of our will, whether we feel like it or not. We still go before the Lord. So return to your first love and remember, be willing to be humiliated if it will advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for these people, for their attentiveness. I ask that every heart, every mind was challenged by Your word and by Your spirit. I ask, Lord God, that the words that were spoken will not just impact their lives today or this week, but for the rest of their lives, Your spirit will bring back these thoughts and these scriptures and these insights and challenge and motivate them to, no matter what they face, suffering or blessing, difficulty, adversity, they will do it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. They'll be willing to forsake their own life, to be humiliated that Your cause and Your gospel might be advanced. And they will always love their first commitment to You, Your word, prayer, evangelism, and encouraging other believers to stay faithful until You come. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's a good promise to live by. If you're living in the will of God, then you can be assured that His will be accomplished in your life, even if you suffer greatly along the way. You've been listening to Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge. Learn more about this ministry at billrudge.org. Or write us at Living Truth for Today, P.O. Box 108, Sharon, Pennsylvania, 16146. Please pray for this ministry, and thank you for listening.